This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Blue 58!
This one made no sense to me.
Blue 58, a touchdown! Titans! The longest touchdown pass of the year!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This one made no sense to me. Will Levis is having season-ending shoulder surgery.
Earlier on the show, longtime Cowboys insider Clarence Hill, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Coming up, actor Paul Walter Hauser. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Paul Walter Hauser is moving in here. I just saw him in our green room. He's about to come out and appear on this show. He was on Note Contest Wrestling in this studio yesterday.
A couple hours ago.
I mean, his t-shirt, wait till you see it. It's a classic. And so is The Naked Gun. And that film is in theaters on Friday, 1st of August. So that's next Friday, a week from this Friday. We had Danny Houston on the program yesterday. So we got Paul Walter Hauser on today. And it'll all be good in this hood. We started the program talking about the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones season opening press conference and all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was.
All right. So we started the show with that. And in that respect, let's go to Chris in Texas. Let's take his phone call to kick off hour number three here on an Overreaction Tuesday that's coming up shortly. What's up, Chris?
The heat down here in Texas.
Okay, good to know. What's the traffic on the ones? Just kidding. What's going on?
I'm out delivering the mail, so.
Nice.
Yes. That's not a metaphor for anything, right? You're actually delivering mail, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, my nickname's the People's Mailman.
The People's Mailman.
I love it.
Can we?
If you smell what Chris is
cooking. I don't want to give extra work, but we can handle this. Should we, because we're graphically supporting you being on the phone, should we say the People's Mailman in Texas or Chris?
Absolutely.
How should we say?
People's Mailman.
Okay, People's Mailman Texas. I don't know if Hoskins, if you can handle that. I'm sure
there
you can. There it is. He's done it. You're now on the screen as the People's Mailman in Texas. What's up? What's on your mind?
Well, personally, I'd like to deck Jerry Jones.
Oh, no.
Oh, whoa.
We don't condone violence.
Man, but I wish he would step aside and let Steven take over or do something. We ain't going to win nothing until that guy steps aside.
Look at you delivering right now like the People's Mailman.
And I have been a Cowboys fan since Roger Staubach and Tony Dorsett.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm almost your age, Rich.
So you'd like...
I'll be 55 in September.
So then listen, People's Mailman, should I just call you Mailman? What's the... You tell me. The more of these things happen, I understand. Dak's top-notch. CeeDee Lamb's top-notch. The addition of George Pickens can be top-notch. Micah Parsons is top-notch. That offensive line is a notch above, okay? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
So we sometimes forget, you know, how many stars there are on this team with the star on the side of their helmet. That said, though, you have no confidence, zero confidence. Return to sender. Postage due. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I'd rather drive down to Austin and watch the Longhorns kick butt than what go to Dallas and see the Cowboys lose.
All right.
Well, that makes sense, too, because Arch is there.
Hook him.
Okay. Thanks for the call, People's Mailman. Call back. Problem. Don't lose our number, please. There you go.
If you smell what the People's Mailman is cooking.
There you go. He just gave the elbow, didn't he?
He did.
To Jerry.
The People's Elbow.
I don't want to deck him.
Wow. Do you think...
Uh-oh.
If this season, let's say this season goes terrible for Dallas, right?
Good.
And they have the number one pick in the draft.
Arch.
Do you think Jerry would draft Arch?
Yes. No.
Yes.
No.
And push Dak out?
Yes.
No.
Why no?
Because I don't know the finances of it. I don't know the salary cap ramifications of it. I can only assume trading that contract.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think it would close the Cowboys for business, wouldn't it? I can't even imagine what the hit would be to trade him. He probably has a no trade as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
right. The smartest his agents were.
This is it. They're hitched. This is
it. But then Dak gets to go to a much better situation, then you got Arch on a rookie deal. So then Micah gets pushed, and now you can sign him and have free up the cash there.
Meanwhile, Mike Florio joined us and said there was a middle finger Jerry flipped during the during his press conference. Apparently, it occurred when he was asked about being snubbed by the Emmy voters for best guest role or guest appearance in a drama in Landman. We were
snubbed.
Talking about that was worthy, right? That one scene.
Yes.
Roll it.
I didn't know they'd had to vote. I'm teasing. I am teasing. No. No. Let's be real clear about that right there, because I have no idea what qualifies you in that particular area. But my best scene was when I was talking to what's-his-name laying up there in the bed. I said, the good news is that they say you're going to live. And so don't make me have to come up here and visit with my rubber glove and get you out of that bed. Now, they took that out. And I thought it was the best scene in the whole thing.
So he put up the middle finger when he was referring to the rubber glove. I mean, is that Moon River? Is that what it's talking about? By the way, the fact that he refers to John Hamm as that what's his name?
What's his name?
Right?
What's his name in the bed?
What's his name in the bed? I cannot wait to text old what's his name later on.
Wow.
But the fact that if they cut out the rubber glove comment, it confirms that this whole scene, everyone was saying that's Jerry Jones to a core. He's being himself. He says these things all the time and he means it. The fact that he used rubber glove, it confirms it as well, because as you know,
we've heard
he once upon a time, I think this was during the COVID days when he was talking about the medical restrictions and how the Cowboys were following them stringently. I think this is one of our favorite drops, right?
Well, old Dr. Jones with my rubber glove is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
There we go. So we can confirm he was truly being himself on Landman. Now, I just don't know is when he was delivering that line on his local radio spot, was he flipping the bird to his phone or, you know, this guy, man.
It's marvelous.
It is marvelous.
Delicious.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. His favorite is squirrel.
One of my favorites is squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, it's just, you get it. You understand how he does. You say he's a bad businessman, Chris. I say he's a great businessman. You can see he's very charming. He's very disarming. I can see him going to a room on a business deal and just...
Yeah,
taking
well,
it over.
The business of the Dallas Cowboys is not conducted. You wouldn't say well.
Listen,
well,
it's just
everything outside of the football field is conducted extremely well.
Let me explain this.
Oh, do you?
Let me explain this. Let me just explain this as succinctly as I can possibly say without botching the word.
Please do.
When you see a manager in Major League Baseball not show any emotion and they lose, it's just like, this guy's got no fire. And the team wins, and you're like, oh, they're taking their cue. They're nice and calm because the manager's calm. If you are seeing somebody with their behavior being unconventional and the team loses, it's the fault of the unconventional behavior. If they win, they're winning because you know what? They're allowed to be unconventional. if Jerry Jones and the Cowboys go to the NFC Championship game this year, it's just Jerry being Jerry. But because they haven't had the results, you have somebody like the People's Mailman calling saying he wants to slap him around. All they got to do is win is all I'm saying. It is the ultimate deodorant in sports, winning.
Factual.
We also have Dan Patrick talking about us. That's later on. I mean, we've got lots of business to get to, including Paul Walter Hauser going to join us shortly. But first, because the Overreaction Monday podcast came out Monday, we have Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher.
What's up, everybody? You guys good?
What up, G?
Sure.
Great to see you, Jay.
You too.
We've been talking a lot about Micah and Dallas, and we're going to talk a little bit more. If Micah Parsons doesn't get a new deal before week one, he should demand a trade. Get out of Dodge.
Let me follow up with this. What's the next step? He demands a trade and they say no. Then what? He stays home.
Stays home.
I don't know.
You want to keep doing this? You heard what Mike said. They're just going to lowball him and then he's going to sign for $35 million a year. Yeah, right.
Let the Eagles curb stomp him. Right?
Start 0-4. How's that going to go?
Hold on a minute.
That ain't going to happen.
And then, no, let's say he follows the Emmett. Like, let's take this to the limit. See, I just used an Eagles
nice
line.
Take it to the limit.
And then the Giants. Hey.
New look Giants, New York Giants.
Giants would be happy. Giants. Russell Wilson guys, would love not having Russell to see Wilson, number. Mark where number 11 is pre-snap.
Guys, let me explain something to you.
Elite Neighbors goes
the
nuts.
The Dallas Cowboys in the last 15 games against the Giants are 14-1, okay?
None of those had Russell Wilson at quarterback.
It does not matter.
So you're saying that the Giants will still lose to the
yes.
Michaelis Cowboys?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? Just because he said that, I'm going to say this is not an overreaction.
Thank you.
Although I think that's a road to nowhere for him. I mean, that you better. I mean, that's like Thelma and Louise. You just grab the hand of your agent and you're revving this over the cliff and that's it. I don't know. This is going to get done. Move on. What else we got? What else you got? Although Florio said that he thinks they're going to force him to play on his option. And
that's
then
insane.
Franchise tag him. That is insane.
We knew this was coming 2 years ago.
It's going to happen. Everybody, go back to your homes. There's nothing to see here.
Get out.
What else?
Thinking about NFL MVP. Josh Allen won last year for the first time.
I heard that story.
Lamar Jackson has a couple of these things.
Sure.
This year's NFL MVP. Players never won it before. We're going back-to-back first-time winners. You look at the favorites, and it's Mahomes. It's Allen. It's Lamar.
Right. It could be like Burrow.
Thinking about Burrow, or Dak, maybe. With no Micah Parsons out there, he's got to carry the team by himself.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts is a running back. Does Derrick Henry go for 2,000 again?
Your guy, Justin Herbert.
I put that down.
Did you really put it down? When you say you put it down, where's the down that you put it?
I wrote down Burrow, Henry, Dak, Herbert for the graphic.
By the way, put it down is a fifth grade term. Like, did you put it down on that piece of paper?
Down.
Sounds like that. By the way, that's like put Del Tufo E's. Oh, there
it
is.
There
we got it on
is.
The board. Okay, my bad. Pardon me.
He put it
pardon
down.
Me. Pardon
I didn't
me.
Believe him.
Put it down.
Excuse me. I'll back down.
Put it down.
Sure. Down. I'll buy this. I'll buy this. I'll buy it. Down. I'll buy it. I like it.
The MVP will be a player who has never won it before.
I like
before.
It. I'll take it. That's not an overreaction.
A lot of guys have
I'll take it.
Won before.
Interesting.
I'll absolutely could be Drake May.
Well, we know it's going to be a quarterback, so we can eliminate anyone who doesn't play that position and go from there.
Keep going. What else you got, Chris?
All right. We're switching it up now.
Dude, football's back. Can we just get two?
We got eight yesterday.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you're a stone without jeez. Out of blood. I had no idea. Okay.
Well, there's other sports.
Okay.
Yeah, there is,
we've been talking other sports for months. Football's back. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to complain about the methodology here.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
Baseball season has been awesome.
He's the Vonnegut. All right, yes.
I know you're not in first anymore.
No, very much not.
At least three teams are going to win 100 games this year, Major League Baseball.
Tigers are the first to 60.
Tigers
the Blue Jays
60.
Feel it seems like they've won 60 of their last 61.
They're right there. They have they have 59.
The Dodgers will do it at the end of the
Astros
day.
Astros have 58. Phillies and Mets have 57.
I'm going to say six.
Cubs have 59. There's a lot of teams that are
okay.
Top of the top.
Hey, by the way, congratulations to Paul Skeens actually getting some runs. I know. He actually got enough run support.
I looked down at the fantasy and went, well, the win next to Paul Skeens.
Sure. I'll buy this, too. You know, that's not great for baseball. That means those losses are going to have to come from somewhere amassed, you know.
I'm going to double your number, Chris.
Six?
Six.
Call your shot. Who are they?
Those three. The Mets.
Mets aren't winning.
Mets are going to win 100 games?
They're not winning 100 games.
The Astros?
They're not. They're not winning 100. Mets aren't winning 100 games.
Did you have the Brewers up there?
By the way,
no.
The Mets are not winning 100 games. Out of all the teams that I just heard, the ones that are going to be the least 100 games are the Mets.
Okay. Yeah. You also said Juan Soto wasn't good at baseball, but you've been quiet about that.
I didn't. I just loved it. No, I didn't.
You were a lot of chatter, but you've been mad quiet lately.
All right. I had this one last week. We didn't get to it. We're going to run it back right now.
Run it back.
Cooper Flagg is going to win an NBA title for the Mavericks before Luka wins one for the Lakers.
Woo!
Dude. When you say he's going to win an NBA title for the Mavs, you are implying he will be the main thrust slash engine behind that championship run. No,
that's your interpretation.
He's implying he's going to win.
No, I mean, Flagg will win an NBA title with the Mavs.
He's not going to be a bystander.
When you say four, that means he's going to be the main engine, like the key,
one of them.
The most key cog.
I mean, if there's five guys out there on the court.
Okay.
And he's not saying this year. He's at some point, right?
No, I'm going to say that's an overreaction. I don't like it. I don't like his tone.
I don't like the fact that, like that Marcus Smart's with going to the Lakers.
I do not love Marcus Smart in the
Why?
Lakers.
Because
it makes him a little bit better.
What's the problem?
Because it makes them better. No, and we don't want that.
No, it doesn't.
I like it.
Have you seen Marcus Smart play lately?
Oh, wow. Don't turn against Marcus. You loved him.
Sudden.
That was your guy, bro. Don't turn
all of a sudden.
He also, the worst shot selection in history.
My God.
You love Marcus.
Is that it? Are you done?
Last one.
Okay.
Scottie Scheffler is now one win away from completing the Grand Slam. He's going to do it next year. And well, you know why? Next year's Sunday of the U.S. Open is on his birthday.
Oh, and it's probably Father's Day, too. And so we'll be able to measure his son's height next to another trophy. It's like we're by the way, in case anybody's wondering, Bennett is taller than the claret jug. I think the claret jug came up to his waist, if I'm not mistaken. Right.
The Wanamaker's.
The Wanamaker's giant. The biggest, right?
There's not going to be a 10-year wait for Scottie. He's going to do it immediately next year.
Next year.
But then he's going to wonder what's he doing it for and what's it all matter.
No, that's only him. That's all him. What are we doing all this
what's
for?
What's this for?
I don't know.
If he wins it, then the next day, Brockman's going to come on and be like, is Scottie going to win the next big tournament? And he's going to be like, can I just celebrate?
By the way, way to come up with the overreaction Mondays that we'll have to wait a year or if not the rest of our lifetimes to figure out if I'm right or wrong or you're right or wrong.
Trust me, Chris is going to keep track of this.
I mean, talk about runway. My goodness gracious. All right.
Complaining? Really?
I am. Facts. That's a fact. It's a fact.
Noted.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Paul Walter Hauser, let's bring him back out here. His home away from home, the Rich Eisen Show studio.
He's real comfortable. We don't even have to walk him out. He
the
knows
the Naked Gun, baby. Back in theaters near you. Next Friday, Paul Walter Hauser, next segment. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available Blind Spot View Monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
So you know we love talking movies around here. You know we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here. So you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie. Also Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes. And the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, radio audience will return. This man is an incredibly talented actor. Why else would I say that for somebody who plays Sean Eric Eckhart, Richard Jewell, and the son of George Kennedy? Only one man can pull that off. His name is Paul Walker Hauser, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Ed Hocken Jr. We've been here coming up on our 11th season of this show and just a few years with our podcast. I think you're the first person to appear in this studio on back-to-back days as a guest. I don't think we've ever had that before.
Yeah. Just me and the custodians.
Just you.
We are the only.
Let us know. Do you want anything? Anything that's missing? Anything that you know? As a guest to come here, you got a mug full of.
The fact that you this sits in my home. I have the original mug from the first chat. It's kind of like a thing where I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna have my Eisen mug." I feel like maybe I'm gonna make some deals today. Because look at this guy. If health is wealth, you're Bezos, baby.
What can I tell you, man?
Look at you.
I have my own rocket ship that looks like Dr. Evil's.
Leo pretends he's not at your wedding.
That's exactly. Absolutely. Gotta put the hat down.
They won't know it's me. I just look exactly like me.
Nobody has a camera here in Venice. I can't be spotted.
I was at a mall with Sebastian Stan while we were shooting I, Tonya. We're in we're at the Lenox Mall, this like famed, you know, local Atlanta mall.
Yeah.
And he was wearing all black. And he's like, you know, I sometimes dress like this, like it's the black hat with no logo and the black clothes just to look boring, like no one's gonna stop me or recognize me. And I go, you realize that you look like Michael Fassbender in like the Hitman movie, like that Fincher made. Like you draw more attention by wearing a solid color, like you are Grimace post weight loss. Like you look insane. You should wear a shirt with a logo on it that draws attention to the shirt so they don't look at your face.
See, this is next level material.
This is chapter 8 of my book. Hiding in plain sight.
Is that the name of the title?
I can't stop going to Bit Town. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just want to play around.
I love Bit Town.
This is the anti Ray Liotta interview. No, Liotta, you got some gold out of me. I'm just dicking around.
But that is, you know, you could say the 83 minutes of Naked Gun is exactly that.
Bit Town, man. Naked Gun is definitely a film that takes its responsibility seriously. But of course, that after that, nothing is taken seriously.
I love that you call it responsibility, because it is.
It is.
I mean, this is iconic. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like when Doritos in the 90s used to release new flavors. You'd be like, oh, you guys must have done a lot of like private chef stuff to put this on. Nowadays, it's just they're spitting out ideas. It's right. Like, this is an old boot Dorito. Tastes like an old Carhartt boot.
Right.
But like we do have that like responsibility of trying to be harmonious and bring back the feeling of the original Naked Guns. And thank God we just had smart people working on it, like Akiva Schaffer, who everybody knows from Saturday Night Live and movies like Popstar, and then Seth MacFarlane being a comedy legend, and Liam Neeson coming in and doing the Leslie Nielsen shtick faithfully committed.
Yes.
You saw it. I mean, it's, yes. I think we just succeed because we had the right team, you know?
Did you channel your inner George Kennedy? Paul Walter Hauser?
Yes, absolutely.
He had no idea it existed, right?
A second breakfast, a fistula surgery. He and I just, he and I were very in sync.
You imagine yourself starring next to Shelley Winters in some sort of a movie in the
70s, absolutely.
Right? You know what I mean?
Another family that won't talk to me, the Winters and the Grangers. The Winters have iced me out, if you will. Yeah.
That is great. The Winters iced you out, huh?
It was cool watching the original movies because I was like, oh man, George Kennedy does quietly support Leslie very well. Like there's something he's doing. He's not doing much, but what he is doing is very cognizant and appropriate, if that makes sense.
For sure. I've got Paul Walter Hauser here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Naked Gun, we had Danny Houston here yesterday.
Oh, I love Danny.
I mean, And I was telling him he was the Ricardo Montalban of this film. You know what I mean?
Yes, very much so.
He nails it.
That Cheshire smile. You know what's great is I love when comedy is done really well by people who are a little less suspecting. You know, if you look at his filmography, you don't necessarily assume that he would nail that, but like it's so fun to see him playing it straight. And every time he says Pamela Anderson's, you know, fake incognito name with such like regularity and comfort, it's like it makes you giggle.
It is laugh out loud funny. And the original Naked Gun, I mean, the way it ends also, there's some conversation that you could include the Naked Gun, the original, as a sports movie because of the way it ends.
Yes, certainly.
In Dodger Stadium, although it's not technically Dodger Stadium, right? I think the Angels were the home team on that day.
Is that what the wheelchair gag?
Well, that's OJ going out at the top, but Reggie Jackson trying to assassinate the Queen.
The Manchurian.
Right, and it's a whole send-up on baseball from start to finish.
Oh, that's good.
You know, where he's Enrico Palazzo, the umpire, who also was the guy who sang the national anthem.
Yeah.
And that last half hour is just like on a baseball diamond.
Oh, I love it.
In that movie.
Yeah, you know? It's a very atmospheric film in that way.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so, again, everybody check it out Friday, August 1st.
Please do.
Yes, please do.
Bring a friend.
You are, what sports do you enjoy? Basketball? You're a fan of the hoops, are you? Or no?
I'm one of those casual watchers where, like, I adore watching Major League Baseball. I adore watching NBA.
Okay.
Especially live. Like, I will just
go to games.
And I'm not one of those, like, public figures who can just get free tickets all the time. I will go on SeatGeek or Game Time or something and go spend my $500 in random seats and go watch a game. And I just have something romantic where when I was a kid, going to the ballpark was such an experience.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Saginaw, Michigan. We go to some Tiger games and, of course, some Brewers games where a lot of my dad's family is from Milwaukee. But being at Wrigley Field I was courtside once at MSG for a Knicks game, and it's like there's something so, I don't know, it just gets in your DNA a little bit.
Though, man, because you're watching more than just the game when you're sitting in those seats. You know what I mean? You're just watching everything around you. Like your head's on a swivel.
It was definitely the lame thing of like in LA, like you go to the Soho House and everyone's talking to you, but looking around like who else is here? It's so pathetic. It's like a very San Vicente bungalow vibe. But having said that, it was fun looking down and it's like McEnroe, John C. McGinley, Michael Che, and to my left, it's like Spike Lee's looking at me like on a timeout. He had the basketball.
Yeah.
It rolled over and he goes, Paul. And I look over and he goes, and just rolls it to me like
he rolls you the basketball.
But like he did it like, I know that this is cool for you. Like he knew I was nerding out. It was cute.
Well, he's, you know, he's Spike Lee. He's yeah. he's rolled the basketballs out quite a bit.
Yeah, he's like, I've done this 1,800 times. You can do it, kid.
Well, obviously, and you were in Black Klansman of his film.
Black Klansman and The Five Bloods. Yeah, I got to work with him twice, and it was a dream. It was so dreamy.
Yeah. What's it like being directed by Spike Lee?
I just didn't know how generous he would be. Like some of these guys and gals, you just assume they're so prolific and brilliant that maybe you kind of have to be on a leash when you're around them.
Yes.
But quite the opposite. Spike and Clint Eastwood and Craig Gillespie and Doug Liman, all these cool directors I've worked with, even Scott Cooper, who I just did the Springsteen movie with. All these guys, like, they let you improvise and play and ask questions, and you don't feel like you're on that leash.
Please tell me more about this Springsteen movie.
What can dude.
Jeremy Allen White is Springsteen.
So Bruce? For reference, so I grew up a Billy Joel guy. That was like what was in my house.
Have you seen the new doc yet?
Not yet. Okay. I'm very much interested.
By the way, you got to plan a night. It's the first part's 2 hours and 27 minutes.
I wouldn't have it any other way. I love long ass documentary stuff.
Well, this one's good for you then.
Like Bogdanovich did that Tom Petty doc. It was like 17 hours. I was like, thank God. But Billy Joel was like my thing growing up. And then in my like late 20s, I just happened upon Bruce outside of his like number one hits and listened to front to back his albums. And I was like, oh, I feel like I get these more now that I'm older. I appreciate them more now.
Right.
So Jeremy Allen White plays Bruce. Bruce is a producer and was very involved in like a welcome fashion. Not like the guy looking over everybody, you know, you feel like their presence is a shadow. It was more like his presence was so additive and he was so accessible to everybody. And I play Mike Batlin, one of Bruce's guitar techs who became his like short time, engineer on the Nebraska album.
So you got to meet Bruce?
Got to like hang out with him.
Oh, come on.
There were moments where I'm like sitting for 20 minutes talking to him and Warren, the guy who wrote the book.
Yeah.
Just talking about artistry and faith and family. And like, well, what's crazy is I moved into, what is the address? If you guys can look it up, I think it's, what was Springsteen's address in Laurel Canyon? I lived at his old house without knowing it.
What?
So my wife and I, we got divorced and then I got sober and went into therapy and we got remarried. I didn't know how selfish and stupid I was. And I picked up the pieces. We got remarried. Mm-hmm. And in the remarriage, as we moved back to LA, I was like, I really can't screw this up. I got to like prove to this woman I know what I'm doing now. So I found the nicest house I could vaguely in my price range, but not.
Uh-huh.
And it was at this Fairholme Drive.
Can anybody look it up? Yeah. 7965 Fairholme Drive.
7965 Fairholme Drive. I lived there for 6 months. And in my first week of being there, my brother-in-law, Joe Shaver, he hits me up and he's like, you know that Springsteen owned that home for like 25 years, right? I was like, what? And then we find out all this history about the place. And
you didn't leave anything behind? Bruce didn't, you didn't like discover,
maybe some ghosts, man, because I'm not even being funny, where the speaker system in the home randomly played Born in the USA and none of us had it on our Spotify or Apple Music.
Come on. Not kidding.
And then we smelled burning at one point. And we were like, what is that weird smell? And we look up the house and we find out a woman, there was a house fire there in the early 20th century where like some young starlet was being put up by some like rich guy and she had a cigarette lit and died. She was pregnant and she died in the home. So gnarly, weird stuff going down. But the happy stuff is that we conceived our second child in Bruce's old bedroom. Hey. So when I met Bruce, I said, I used to live in your old house. He goes, I heard, what? And I was like, I conceived a child in your old bedroom. He goes, so did I. I'm like, we're locational Eskimo brothers. And we hugged it out. It was insane. It was the funniest like first conversation to have with an icon.
We have a new fantasy team name. Write it down. Locational
Eskimo Brothers.
Yep. That's the fact that you're able to look at Bruce Springsteen and call him a locational Eskimo brother. That's got to be like a bucket list. You check that off, baby.
The left elevator at Sunset Tower. Me too. Yeah. No. We had such a fun time. He would sit behind the monitor eating fun-sized candy bars. and just telling stories to whoever would listen, telling old stories and being very generous with his time. And I'm a fan of alternative comedy. I love Monty Python, Tim Robinson, all these idiotic things. And so I would go up to him and just mess with him all the time. I'd walk up and go like, so Bruce, sir, and he could just tell by how I was acting as I walked up. He's like, Paul's doing a bit. I'd walk up and go, so listen, we're going to do a scene where we've added you to the hallway. So as Jeremy's walking in the hallway, he bumps into you and he goes, excuse me, sorry, sir. And you're going to turn to him, sunglasses on. You go, you look familiar, kid. And he's going to look at you and say, yeah, you look kind of familiar too. And then you're going to go enjoy the ride. And then you're going to mimic a steering wheel, and you're going to drive away from him down the hall. And people are around him just dying laughing.
Is he laughing though?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he's like,
okay.
But no, he's playing back. He's doing the bit where he's like, I can do that. Yeah, I love that. That's great.
Dude, you're doing bits with Bruce.
Yeah, it was fun.
You're conceiving in the same room he's conceived
in. It was silly. But like, this is the dreamy, stupid stuff we get to do. Like, I'm working with Liam Neeson on Naked Gun, doing bits with Springsteen, and working with the brilliant Jeremy Allen White and Scott Cooper. I just did Fantastic Four and got to live in that Marvel world for a minute.
Congratulations on that.
Thanks.
So were you on the premiere last night for that movie?
I was, okay. Yeah. It was very overwhelming. There were like a billion people there.
This is the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was gnarly. And then this new movie I have coming out, I have to make mention of is, it's called Americana. Mm-hmm. Lionsgate's putting it out August 15th, and it's myself and Sydney Sweeney, Simon Rex, Eric Dane and Halsey, and Zahn McClernand. And it is... quite literally, it might be like my favorite film I've ever made.
No kidding.
Or been a part of.
Wow.
Which is saying a lot. I love Richard Jewell. I love Naked Gun.
You've been in some great movies, man.
But dude, it is this new guy, Tony Toast. He's been around for a minute, but nobody knows him as much. And this is his directorial debut, and he wrote the script. And it's like a modern day Western vibe where it kind of has Coen brother humor with Tarantino violence. It's crazy.
And it opens nationwide August 15th. And a great cast. I just, every name you mentioned got lost after you said Sydney Sweeney. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm also straight.
You know?
Yeah. It's all right. I'm a committed married man, but like, I'm not blind.
Me too. I mean, I got best dad ever here. You have three kids now. I've got three kids.
Oh, God.
Honestly, like you mentioned the cast. And after saying Sydney Sweeney, you sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher. It's all gone.
No, she, you know, she doesn't get enough credit, though. I think this new movie, she plays a boxer in this movie that's going to be at TIFF, Toronto Film Festival. Uh-huh. And I think this role is really going to turn some heads, kind of the way like I, Tonya, made Margot go from just like beautiful woman to like starlet who's knocking you out with her performance. But Sydney in this movie, we have a lot of scenes together, and a car broke down at one point while we were driving this old Corvette or something, and she like knew how to drive a stick and knew how to fix the car. It was like the engine was flooded, and she's like, grabs the walkie, she's like, I got it, we're good, I don't need help. And then like did a bunch of stuff and got the car going again and backed out of a ditch, and I'm like, this woman is so capable, it's scary. She's really talented.
There are people listening to us right now on our Infinity Sports Network, on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, who are purposely breaking their cars down on the side of the road, thinking that this could happen for them.
All men, women, and studio executives who are waiting for her to stop and help. Guys, she's busy.
She's busy.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
The dance card's full.
Fantastic. I was going to, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say.
That's right. There's a lot of jokes I'm not making. I want Rich to like me still.
No, I've got a lot of jokes in my head right now.
Last night on the red carpet for Fantastic Four, I made like two Trump references, and my poor PR team, they're just like,
Just get off.
No, the tech companies love him. It's how they survive.
It's now called the Fantastic Three. I wonder why.
It's called the Fantastic Four and No Mole Man. I don't know why they put that in parentheticals.
Dude, you're killing it right now. Fantastic Four.
It's crazy. God is good, man.
Naked
it's been
Gun,
fun.
Americana.
Oh, Luckiest Man in America. That's a movie I did with Walt Goggins and David Strathairn.
Dude.
And it's on streaming, and I think Delta's got them on all their flights. I've been seeing a bunch of friends are sending me snapshots of little headrests with my scary face on them.
First of all, two amazing actors. You called him Dave, right? These other people know him as David, right?
I know him as Dave. D-Strays.
D-Strays. But one
only
of my,
when we're doing pills. Me and D-Strays.
Eight Men Out is one of my favorite baseball movies.
That's a very much baseball
he's
movie.
He's in that. He plays Eddie Seacott in that film.
Yeah. Unfortunate name.
Walton Goggins, he was on the show a few years ago. He's like one of the most interesting men in the world, that guy, man.
Well, you know what? I think he's a passionate man. He's like masculine, but he's got this like airy, sweet, poetic thing going. He's like a feather floating to the earth that can also poke your eye out. You know, there's something special about him.
Vivid imagery all over the place. The Naked Gun, available in theaters nationwide Friday, August 1st. Fantastic Four, available in theaters this Friday. Americana will be in theaters nationwide starring on August 15th, starring you and Sydney Sweeney and some other people.
There was a veneer of disdain. Do you have something against Simon Rex? Do you not like Scary Movie 4?
I heard Eric Dane in there. I heard that.
Eric Dane, the wonderful Eric Dane. Grey's Anatomy, Euphoria. That guy is
my fantasy football league.
That's it.
He's amazing.
Dude, let's do this more often. Thanks for coming
back. Can I plug wrestling for two seconds?
Go for it.
I'm working with this. You've
been doing it on the pods.
That wasn't enough. The hour I had with him wasn't enough. I had a blast with O'Shea and TJ. That was fun. But I work with this company called Major League Wrestling, MLW. And I went from being on the roster to now being an executive producer. And so I hope people check us out. They have a YouTube page where the majority of their content, they're just putting pay-per-views up for free. So you can watch and get familiar with that and watch me get a hematoma on my butt cheek when I do an elbow drop off a 7-foot ladder on the concrete.
Well, there it is.
That's Southern Honor. That's a match I have on August 8th in Georgia.
Yeah, look at you. Yeah. Versus Zicky Dice.
Zicky Dice. Okay, and then August 25th, I'll be in London at the Electric Ballroom, a very storied venue for wrestling, and I'll be putting my Proteus title on the line. And shout out to QT Marshall of AEW and ROH. Yeah. I still want to kick your ass.
Okay,
let's set it up.
I like it. We have what would we call this, a wrestling artifact, TJ, that we have.
Yeah,
right over on my
Hulk Hogan's
bust.
Over there.
No, nice. That's the neck brace that was worn by Tony Khan
during the draft.
What was he a recipient of?
Young Bucks, as you know, they hit him with a vicious TK driver.
Yeah, the TK driver.
Formerly the Meltzer driver. They darn near broke his neck. It was more of a precautionary neck brace.
I was just concerned that the Jaguars would not draft at all because of what was going on with Tony, and the fact that he was braving the draft with a neck brace on.
It's commitment.
He brought it here. He autographed it, and he donated it to our studio, and then donated $100,000 to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital on top of it. With that,
wonderful.
There. He just dropped the same amount. Last time he was here too.
What a mensch!
He is exactly that.
I love when people are generous to whom much is given, much is expected.
Brother. Thanks for coming here.
Wonderful to see you.
Let's do this more often. Come anytime you want, dude.
I would love to.
Please, anytime
you want. Maybe I'll come crash when one of my cast members is doing it. Don't tell him.
Well, one thing is you definitely know your way here.
I do.
You know?
Twice in 24 hours.
It's unbelievable. this man is committed. There he is.
He's got a home on Mondays.
With O'Shea Jackson and TJ. Paul Walter Hauser. Check out The Naked Gun. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
You see stuff that's on the walls here when you walk in. There's a Goodfellas poster that I've had for ever.
Really?
Yes.
Where'd you get it?
I got it at a charity auction.
Huh.
And it's on the wall, and you signed it. You signed it.
Rafi!
What do you mean?
It's not on the wall.
Okay, our stage manager coming. That's it. You've taken it off the wall.
Yeah, it's not my signature.
What do you mean it's not your signature?
This is not my signature, buddy.
Down there?
You got ripped off.
No, I did not.
Yeah,
you're kidding me.
I don't do a frou-frou L like that, and I don't cross it.
So that is like not that. Yours, because it's signed by you, De Niro, and Pesci, and I spent at least four figures on this thing.
Get out of here.
Yes.
You're a sucker. No, that's...
Now, you're being serious. That is definitely not your signature.
Yeah, I'm...
Scorsese, it says Scorsese signed it down there, too. Look at that, underneath.
That's his.
That is?
I'm not sure that Bob's. Because I can only remember signing really like five that was complete. And there was never like one of those signings where you all lay there. I mean, I could sign it for real.
Yeah.
At least I could double it.
Do it. Do what you wish. If that is, do you know if that's Pesci's? Do you know if that's Joe's?
No, that's him.
No, I know that's him.
I know.
Do you know if that's his signature?
I don't know Joe's signature.
Okay.
Rich, you show that to every guest that walks in here.
Yeah, sure. This is hanging, so every guest that walks in here, this is one of the first things that they see in the hallway. You
no,
sure?
We'll take care of it later. Rafi.
Yeah, what do you got?
He's got an axe.
Are you serious?
Do you want the real?
Yeah, sure, but you know, I mean.
It's gonna hurt the.
Okay.
Oh no, it doesn't.
Oh, that's me. You just smacked yourself
in your heart attack. We'll do it later.
Okay.
But that's not me.
Yeah, you just banged yourself. You just cracked the glass. So we could take it out. Smash the glass. I mean, you got that at this point.
No, it's not glass, though. It's not really glass.
It's like a plexi.
But we'll do it. We'll fix it.
Okay.
But you got ripped off.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
How are you feeling now, Rich?
He's holding onto the X.
All right, so ask me a question.
Oh my gosh! You put the axe down. This is fantastic. I don't even know where to go with this because that has been one of my most prized possessions for some time. And you are the real McCoy saying that is not your signature.
Yeah, no, it's not. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, did I really hurt my head there? It's a crack.
Of all the places for you to smash it, it was directly in the forehead of you in the movie poster right there. But it's all good because we're gonna take that thing apart. If that's not your signature, I need your actual John Hancock on that.
It's over 10 years ago, guys. That's a 10-year-old clip.
Wow.
That's before we were using radio mics for a radio television show. I held out on that one for a while.
I don't miss those lobs.
You don't? I bet not, right?
No.
Those are a pain in the ass.
We were putting two on your tie or lapel every day.
One for radio,
off.
One for needed as
it
a backup.
Was just backup in case something happened.
Right.
Not fun, though.
Yeah, the DirecTV people were after me. You got to do radio mics. I finally relented.
It worked out.
It did. You know?
Is there an update? Didn't we send the picture to De Niro?
De Niro, yeah, we haven't gotten back. We haven't gotten back yet.
All right.
And I can't, like, call up and, hey, Bobby, where's my thing?
Yeah, hey, well, WTF.
May I call you Bobby? You mind if I call you Bobby? Bob. Hey, Bob, where's my friggin' poster? Yeah, I can't do that. In the 2 minutes we have left here, we'll get to it. I guess Dan spoke about us saying that Fritz repeated an answer, didn't get the immediate ex like the Family Feud people said would actually happen with an ex. He got another bite at the apple, got an answer right. They wound up going to the fast money. Is there anything wrong with what I just said? Is it infactual of what I just said?
It was the category. It was the one before. It was game three.
Okay, yada, yada, yada. Right, yeah, okay. Yada, yada, yada. All right, this is what Dan had to say.
They got humiliated. Mm. And they're trying to save face by saying that Fritzy got a little bit of help. Mm. This is not cheating. We didn't purposely do something.
That's true.
That maybe true. If somebody made a mistake, how do we know you had the answer? You guys didn't have any Ooh. Answers the entire show, and now you're coming Dang. Up with an answer?
Damn. Wow. Light them up.
Hey, you've accused us of cheating.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
No, we didn't.
We didn't cheat.
No, we didn't.
We did. A little bit. You know, what we were told to do, and Steve said go again. Fritzy went again and got the answer. But I can't count on those guys to say that they had the right answer.
Because
they had some stupid answers.
We did.
But there's no rematch.
My
here.
Wife was a great answer.
I mean, that, like, they're trying to save face.
Mm. Mm. Seems like we touched a nerve.
Yeah, a little bit.
We had that answer.
We did have that answer.
Yeah, 1,000%.
You said, all right, I'll say that. And then he said it.
Then he said it.
Yeah.
Then so we had to go back to the drawing board.
Right.
Hey, it's one of those things, too, is that if you're awarded first base for a hit by pitch and the pitch didn't hit you, you take first. You're not going to say we didn't.
Right, exactly.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I think we're all being honest and truthful. That's all.
I think we are being truthful.
Yes.
Yeah. We are honest actors in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, ask anyone. I told everyone we got lumped.
Yeah, we got
Justin.
That's.
I mean, I played great.
We look good doing it.
That's a good picture.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.